In the spirit of what we are doing tonight, I think it's a blessing to the heart of God that we would say, Lord, we want to end this year with you. And everywhere around the community, there are people just they're celebrating. We were watching it on the news today or tonight, where much of the world already is well into the new year. And in fact, New Year's Day is dawning, you know, in places like Russia and other areas where it's already the morning. And so many people will be waking up sick and hungover and hurting. And listen, I don't know about you, but before I was a Christian, that's how I used to wake up on New Year's Eve day, or New Year's Day, if I woke up at all, you know. So, but just the thought of these things that the world, if you ever want to catch the world, I would think, off guard, it would be tomorrow. Because of all that's gone on this day and this night. But for the believer, for us tonight, I want to bring out some verses to you and some thoughts. If I were to give a title to this tonight, it would be On Your Mark, Get Set. And that's what my hope is this year. On Your Mark, Get Set. I got that this morning when, as you did, reading the end of your Bible reading, Revelation 22. We came to the end of our Bible today. And there in verses 20 to 21, it says, He who testifies of these things says, Surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's how the Bible ends. It's interesting. We read today in the closing verses of the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi warned there in chapter 3 that the Lord was not happy with the way the world was going. And he said there, you better come and turn your heart toward me and follow me, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Did you read that today? And then there was 400 years of silence before the dawning, the breaking of that Christmas announcement that we celebrated last week concerning the birth of Jesus. And of course, God bringing forth the New Testament story and message to the world. And then how the book of Revelation ends with not a curse, but with a blessing. The very book of the Revelation. God says, I will bless those who read it and bless those who have it read. So in considering these things tonight, on your mark, get set. The voice I pray this year might be, who knows, it's going to happen some year. It's let's go. Let's come on up. Let's get this thing on the road and the Lord would draw his people home. But until that time happens, some things I want you to be thinking about. Number one, if we're going to be on the mark this year to come, and if we're set, we have got to be people committed in these ways, in these areas that I'm speaking about tonight. And that would be that if we're going to run, if we're going to be set, if we're going to be going, we need to be running with our eyes wide open this year to come. Like never before. Christian, the temptation for us to back off or to relax or to be pulled away by the allurements of the world is going to be strong. It's going to happen. I don't want to bum you out. I want to encourage you. But I want you to be ready. I believe that with each passing year, as long as I've been a Christian, each year it seems like Satan has been given a longer leash and a little bit better insight to what gets us. But of course, God is in all of that. He's watching all of that. But this year to come, we need to be on the mark and we need to be getting set because our eyes need to be wide open as we go into this new year. We cannot be tricked. We cannot be deceived. So what do we do about that? Church, I want to challenge you that if we run and if we're set and if we're ready and if we're looking up, ready to go, that our life and our living and our eyes need to be discerning. Number one, we need to have discerning eyes this year. We need to get wiser now than ever before. The year that is before us is brand new. The year that has been behind us, it's over. It's done. But what's going to happen before us? And so, like never before, church, we need to be discerning. That is, deciphering what is going on in this world from the believer's perspective. Lord, I see what's happening in the world around me. Church, we look at the events that are taking place in the world and heads of state around the world, they have absolute good reason to be as nervous as they are right now. And if you're listening and watching to the things that are going on, the situation India India is on its highest state of alert. India is a nuclear nation. Did you know that? They have nukes. They're at their highest level of military response as I speak to you right now. Why? Because Pakistan is on the brink of chaos. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better with what's happening there. Pakistan is a nuclear state. And the government there seems to be almost coming apart. And then you look at what's taking place where Russia this week has made an announcement that they might have to get into that area of Pakistan to put down any uprising that could threaten that part of the world. And I can understand their argument. Russia's close to that part of the world, closer than we are to that part of the world. But that Russia's statement has made America nervous. And Europe is very nervous about Russia and the possible restarting of a Cold War era. Didn't Jesus say that there would be times of wars and rumors of wars? But he said in Matthew chapter 24, don't think that the end is happening with that. There's a lot more other stuff that's going to be taking place. But we see all of these things, these saber rattlings that are taking place. And the world is getting very, very dangerous. And was it Belgium today? I think it was Belgium today that said we can't celebrate our New Year's celebrations because they're under a threat from Al-Qaeda right now. Well, most of the world is under the threat of Al-Qaeda. And the Israeli Intelligence Agency and the CIA and MI5, MI6 out of England, they've all picked up and they've published, you can read it now, the emails from Al-Qaeda leaders to Al-Qaeda members, congratulations on the assassination of Benazir Bhutto. And if you saw her tragic death and what was going on about that. All these things that are going on, craziness, mayhem in the world. Well, as a believer, what am I to do about that? I am to have my eyes wide open, not putting my head in the sand. I need to have my eyes wide open. And Christian, church, listen. When our eyes are wide open, as God would have us to be discerning the times in which we live in, just know this, that God told us in the Bible these things would be happening. He told us in the book of Ezekiel that there would be a time when out of the furthermost parts of the north from Jerusalem, there would be a nation that would arise, a great powerful nation that would come into the Middle East with a Muslim contingency or coalition. And it lists the nations there right in Scripture. When you read Ezekiel 36 on out to 39, it's mentioning the nations. And when you look at that furthermost nation from Jerusalem, you can't go any further north until you start going south. And you're right in the land of Russia today. And you've got Vladimir Putin with all of the threats and stuff that he's issuing. You say, why is that important? Because Jesus said, when you see these things, watch out. Not watch out because something terrible is going to happen to you. The opposite. He said, watch out because your redemption draws near. Amen. It's even though the world's going crazy for the believer, for us, we can say, my goodness, I thank God my Bible told me this is going to be going on. It's an amazing thing to keep in mind. We need to have discerning eyes. And we also need to have focused eyes. Our eyes need to be focused on the fact that if we're going to run with our eyes wide open this year of 08, that we need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Church, we need to remember and we need to be encouraged that as Christians, it is the Lord who called us into His family. It is the Lord who has given us His Holy Spirit. It's the Lord that teaches us every time we open the Bible. Every time you and I take a step, it's God that is leading us. And listen, He's going to be faithful to get us all the way through to the end. I don't know what 08 holds. I don't know what's going to come about. But I don't have to know. In fact, I'm glad I don't know exactly. Because if I knew, I'd start worrying about it or trying to fix it. And that's not what God wants. Our God wants us to trust Him in and through it all, no matter what comes. Because whatever comes our way, church, in the year to come, it has been Father filtered. You know what that means? It will not come to you unless God has allowed it so. Your Father will not allow anything to come into your life. And that ought to strengthen all of us in our resolve to live our life for Christ this year. That if we get a flat tire, if our house burns down, if we lose our job, or if the doctor gives us that pink slip or black slip or whatever slip they give us when we get that news, God knows. Last Sunday I prayed with a woman. She had tears in her eyes. She was saying, pray for me. I'm going in for surgery. I could have cancer. And I want you to pray for me. And so I prayed for her. And in the prayer, I had prayed, Lord, this daughter of yours, she's loving you and she's serving you and she's your child. But she's doing all of this through the body you gave her. This is your body, God. And if she's got cancer, if she needs healing, Lord, then you heal her. Lord, if it's your will, you strengthen her. You bring her back to being healthy. This is your child. Her body is the temple of the living God. And when you think about that, if it's all Father filtered, then what do we have to worry about? God knows, and we can be very, very discerning, and we can have our eyes focused on the fact that Jesus is going to get us all the way through to the end. And then also this, that we can be having thankful eyes. This is important to me. It's important to all of us. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18, it says, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks for everything. See, yeah, but what if I don't understand what's going on? God knows. Give thanks for everything. This is a discipline, church, that we need to nurture. Well, I don't understand. I don't see how any good can come out of this, but I'm going to thank God. And we say, how do you do that? Well, Lord, it seems like the world's falling apart, but you're on your throne. God, when I read your Bible, it told me that this stuff would be happening, or this is the dilemma in this life that we see, that all those who follow Christ will suffer persecution. This persecution's coming. Thank you for telling me in advance. I rejoice in that, and I thank you, God, that I'm your child, that I'm really in Christ, counted worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. You know, that's a privilege to have that mark on our lives. I forget the pastor's name now. Dietrich Bonhoeffer had already been imprisoned by Hitler. Bonhoeffer spoke out against Hitler and rebuked him. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer was put in prison, and a week later he was found stripped and hanging from his neck on piano wire. They came in and they hung the great German preacher. He was fearless. And the gentleman that was inspired by his stand, another pastor, took up where Bonhoeffer left off and began speaking out against Hitler and the cult of the Third Reich, exposing it for what it was. And they arrested him. And another pastor from the community came and made prison visits. And this very well-known, famous German pastor was there in prison for speaking out against Hitler. And when his friend, the other pastor, came by, he looked and he said, what are you doing in here? What did you do to get in here? What in the world? You're the most famous pastor in all of Germany outside of Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer's gone. Now you're the... What are you doing in here? And that pastor stood up and he said, the question is not what am I doing in here? The question is, why aren't you in here? Because he was not taking a stand. Church, like never before, we need to be very, very thankful that we have the mark of Christ upon us. That we have not been saved to be popular. We have not been converted to be cute or to be conventional. We're radicals. We don't belong to this world anymore. The world doesn't understand us. I understand why they don't understand us. Before I was a Christian, I did not understand Christians. They're crazy. Believing in this old dusty book filled with all of these flaws, and you can't trust the Word, and Christians don't believe in anything that's intelligent. They're a bunch of blind fools who just follow like lemmings each other right off the cliff, you know. And that's what I thought of Christians. And then you become a Christian and you find out, man, have I been lied to all this time? I thought the Christians were blind. Until you become a Christian, then you realize that you're the one that was blind. And when the love of God and the salvation of Christ takes hold of your heart, what can they do to us? If they take our bodies and burn them, it's just our bodies. Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I like those kind of odds. What an encouraging thing. Secondly, if we're on the mark and if we're getting set this year of 2008, we need to be running with our minds engaged like never before. And maybe the points that I'm giving you tonight are things that God has just laid upon my heart personally. That for me to be on the mark and for me to be ready and to be getting set, I need to be running with my mind engaged. And what does that mean? Well, certainly it means dedicated. My mind needs to be dedicated. Church, listen, allow me to be this transparent with you. I pray that you're the same. And if not, fool me, will you? And make me feel good. But when you pray, does your mind wander when you pray? I do everything I can to keep my mind from wandering. I get up, I go in another room. I get uncomfortable intentionally. I get, if I'm cold, I try not to get a blanket because then that makes me comfortable. And if I'm comfortable, then I start thinking about, oh, I feel comfortable. When's my next vacation? Or if you're like me, I'll get up and I'm praying and I'm asking, oh Lord, this day's brand new and it still yet hasn't dawned and I pray for your leading and oh God in heaven, move and move. I need to move all of that stuff out of the garage. I tell you what, Pastor Chuck Smith, awesome. He said, you know what, when he goes to prayer always with a pencil and with a notepad. Because he said if Satan's going to remind him of something, he's going to write it down and take advantage of the moment. He can be in a moment of prayer. Did I change the oil in the car? I'm not sure. Change the oil in the car. Anyway, dear God in heaven, isn't that great? I think that's awesome. Well, by your responses, I'm glad that your mind needs to be dedicated like mine too. We need to work at that. We need to discipline our minds to be dedicated. The Bible says in Philippians 4, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just or pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's a great, awesome thing to have our minds engaged and dedicated with that discipline. That's what we can do for 08. Also, we need to run with minds engaged with a devoted mind. Wow. This is amazing to me. The Bible tells us in obviously numerous places, but one of them tells us here, Philippians encourages us that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Man. Who humbled himself, he became a servant. Corinthians tells us, Paul tells us, that we need to bring every thought under the captivity of Christ. Every one of you, don't tell me you don't. Every one of us struggle with aberrant thoughts. A messed up, goofball thought. You probably had some this evening already. Even in the most holy moments, this thought comes in. Where did that come from? What do you do with it? You wrestle it out of your mind. How often? All day long, if that's what it takes. And if you're driving around or if you're seeing something, you see somebody or you see whatever or you hear something, a thought comes in your mind, what are you supposed to do with that? It happens probably 1,000 times a day. You grab that thought, Lord, that is not a thought that glorifies you. I'm asking you in Jesus' name, Lord, take that captive and cast it out of my thinking. You might have to do that 100 times a day. But do it like never before. Don't succumb to it. Don't give up to it. Have a devoted mind, and then have a directed mind. What do we mean by directed mind? Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. A directed mind. A mind that is directed by God. And then thirdly, for this year that's before us, we need to be running with our lives employed. When I say with our lives employed, I mean that our lives are to be active. And herein, listen, is a very important thing. Our lives need to be employed for the things of God. And this never, what I'm about to say, is always true, but it never goes over well. That is, our lives need to be committed to the cause of Christ. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We need to be in our lives committed. And our lives need to be, church, we need to be able this year to come. Oh, wait. We need to be able to come to the end of this new year that's before us without having to guess if we lived it for the glory of God. We shouldn't be guessing at the end of next year, how was this year for God? Was it okay for God? Was it right? You should know. I lived this life this year for Christ. Doesn't mean you didn't make mistakes. Doesn't mean you fumbled. That's going to happen. But at the end of the year, you want to be able to say, I was committed and I lived it for Christ. You lived it for nobody else. You didn't live it for any committee. You didn't live it for any pastor or priest or for any denomination. You lived it for Christ. And that's what you want to be able to say. And then we want to be able to live our lives employed in a sanctified way. The word sanctified means to be set apart, to be ordained to. Christian, listen. You know, this is the time for resolutions, right? Isn't that what those things are called? I don't even know what they're called anymore. I gave up on them about 30 years ago. I believe only through Christ Jesus can we actually make a vow unto God that it will stick, because He'll give us the power to do it. We spend all of our lives, whatever it is. I vow to lose 10 pounds this year. And you gain 20. But listen, if we make that commitment, if we make that sanctified, set-apart commitment to the Lord, that we will determine this year to put Him first in everything that we're doing. First in our hobbies, first in our labors, first in our church attendance, or in our giving, or in our worship. If we say, God, it's all for You. It's all for You. And we live our lives like that. Imagine. What if? Who knows? What if this is the last year we have to live for Christ? It could happen. And if it happens, how will you have lived it? 07's over. What do we have? 30 minutes? And it's over? Is that clock right? What time is it? James, you don't have a watch either? I left mine at home. What time is it? Anybody know? Yes, yeah, so 30 minutes. What are you going to do? In 30 minutes, it's going to be over. 2007 goes into the annals of God's history book. It's going to be done. Oh, I wish I would have. You know? Oh, if I only had. Why did I? Listen, God's goodness and grace, He's the commander of time. He's given us another year coming up. In 30 minutes, there'll be another year. And you don't want to live it regretting. We want to live our lives usable. Amen, don't you? You guys, listen. You heard this a long time ago, maybe. I think I said it in this church. Don't remember. But on Sunday mornings, you guys ever notice that little guy out in the parking lot? He's a short guy. He's only about that tall. You know what I'm talking about? I used to have a name for him. What? Yes'm. That's his name. Thanks for remembering that. That's scary good. He's standing out there. You know what I'm talking about? He's lime green. He stands out there when it's 110 or when it's cold like tonight. Rain, he's out there. He never complains. He's that little plastic guy that says slow down or whatever. He's like this. You ever see him? Whatever you need done, it's yes. He even looks like he's saying yet. Yes. 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 That's how the Christian is that we need to be. Yes. Yes, Lord. And it, no matter what the weather is, he's faithful. If we just had more people like him. You know, he's faithful. Never complains. He's wonderful. But he's plastic. But why do I bring him up? Because the guy's so usable. I remember using him as a prop. I was speaking at a men's gathering up in Sylmar. And it was on an early Saturday morning. And I drove up to Sylmar and I had him sitting right in the passenger seat with me. And I did that intentionally. The seatbelt was across him. I had to position him just right. Pulled up in the parking lot. They had a parking guy. And he looks at me. He's... And I got out and I grabbed him and we walked right in. And I made, this was a big statement I was making. I walked in with the guy. Hi, how are you? How are you? And they're like. And I said, I used him in the message about being usable. Listen, there's nothing more fantastic than for us to be able to say tonight, Lord, for 08, I am to be usable to the kingdom of God. Imagine yourself being a person this year to come, and there's a handle that comes out of your back like a tool. God can grab it and he could use you as a saw or as a suture or as a sword or as a tray. Whatever God wants to do in our lives, he just grab the handle on our back and he can use us. That's what God wants to do in our lives in 08. And he'll do it if we let him do it. And then I guess we end with this. If we're going to be on the mark and if we're going to be set, we need to be running with our spirits ablaze. And what I mean by that, with our spirits ablaze, we need to be ablaze with the truth of God. We need to be in love with God's Bible more than anything else in this universe. And for some of us, it means turning off the news more often. Okay? But for some of you, it means putting down the magazine or the internet or the catalogs. You got to put them down and pick up the Word of God more. That's what he would have for us. We need to be ablaze in the truth of God. We need to be ablaze with the love of God. Church, the Bible tells us, Peter said in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love one for another. Because why? He says, love covers a multitude of sins. We need to be a body, a church, ablaze with the love of God. And then ablaze with hope. I believe personally that is what's going to cause the church, the Christian in 08, to be so attractive to a lost world. I mentioned on Sunday, I believe God, I hope God is sending a revival. I don't know what it will look like, but it will be a move of God. One thing we know for sure is that with every revival that has happened throughout the history of the world, hope is born. And the lost are drawn to hope. And we need to be a people that exhibit hope. And that needs to happen in our lives. And so how does that happen? Listen, in a moment we're going to partake of communion together. And the worship team can come out and we can get ready. But as you think about this, I want you to answer these questions in your mind. You don't need to say anything out loud. But just in your mind, listen to this. What is it tonight, in the last few moments of this year, what is it tonight that you'd like to leave behind in 07? What would you like to leave behind? What is it tonight that you'd like to begin 08 with or for? And what about your relationship with God? Were you satisfied this year with it? I had one of the best, if not the best year ever with the Lord. But God is so good, I'm not satisfied with it. Why? Because it appears He's given us one more year, at least next 30 minutes, and I'm wondering what He wants to do next. So tonight, leave this issue with the Lord. Let it vanish away in 07. But for 08, what is it? Listen, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you tonight to prepare your heart to make a vow unto the Lord. You think about that. Let me pray. And then we'll prepare our hearts. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. And we are grateful and we are thankful. Father, as we are here this evening, we pray now in the name of Jesus Christ, the one and only true God, who according to the Bible declares that He came, that He lived, that He died, and that He rose again from the dead, and that He ascended into heaven, that He is our Lord and Savior, that He died for the sins of the world. He died for us. Tonight, Father, we come and we recognize that we have no strength and power of our own. But Lord, we know that Your desire is to hear us cry out to You. And so, Lord, we cry out to You. Christian, tonight, make your vow unto God. Tell Him now what you want to leave behind. Is it pain, sorrow, suffering? Is it shortcomings? Is it some sin? Is it some thing of the past? Is it whatever? This is the chance of a lifetime now. Leave it behind. Let it go. Declare tonight, by the power of God, you are letting that thing or things go. And that tonight you are embracing the grace and mercy of a new year. You can determine tonight, because God has given you this ability, to leave a dead, painful, rotting thing and walk down the newness of life in Christ Jesus. You can do that now. That's for the Christian tonight. That's for us tonight. But right now, for anyone in here this evening that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can right now say to Him, Jesus, I want You to be my Savior. I don't want to go to hell when I die. I don't want to go there. I don't even want to be near that place. And I understand that You came so I wouldn't have to go there. That You loved so much that You died so that I don't have to be there. Friend, wherever you're at tonight, you can say to Him right now, Lord Jesus, I believe that You came, died on the cross, rose again from the dead to forgive me of my sins, that I could be in heaven with You forever. And if you want that tonight, you tell Him that tonight. As we begin to worship now, for the next several moments, we're going to distribute the elements of communion. And I'd like all of you to take both the cup and the bread and wait. We will wait and we'll do it together. Let's prepare our hearts. And if you are a brand new Christian tonight, if you said yes to that prayer, if you said, I want Jesus, then what a great night this is. It's not only a brand new year, it's a brand new life, and you can have communion according to the Word of God. So let's bless Him. Let's thank Him. And let's prepare our hearts to receive from Him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship, and the ushers and the pastors will come forward and begin to distribute the elements as we wait upon Him.